It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for joining me on this first Sunday morning of August, the month that we think about grabbing books and sitting by shade trees. And it, of course, used to be America's vacation month, but schools have interrupted that. Colleges have interrupted that. And I know people who, actually friends of mine, who will be in school on Monday, tomorrow. It's absurd. Whatever happened to our summer? I'm not going to go back on my soapbox, which I do every year or almost every year, about how it has been an implosion in the summer economy of all kinds of destination places across Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, across the Northern Rockies. Any place people went in August to vacation, now kids are having to go back to school or college, and so the individuals who made the beds in the camps or who worked waited on tables, they aren't there. And here come thousands, tens of thousands of tourists, and the labor pool is dramatically shrunk. I'm very much aware of a friend of mine who runs a superb restaurant outside of Portland, Maine, and he loses all of his help on the 10th of August. And now, then he's got to scramble. And so the impacts to our economy of schools going back in August just so we can play football are really significant. And after all, how many kids actually do play football? And certainly college football is a big deal, and television is what started the whole thing, but it has interrupted what had been for a century or more the month of August, which was America's vacation month, and it's not anymore. In fact, in most Western resorts, July now is busier than August because so many people have to go back to school. In any event, speaking about going back to school, there was a poacher in New Hampshire, who probably is going to go back to school, and that's after he gets out of jail. I said poacher because it's not a sportsman or woman who does these kind of things, but on a happy note, it is sportsmen who turn this person in, and it makes your stomach just turn. One of the great game fish on the East Coast are striped bass. They've been struggling in recent years. They appear to be making a comeback in certain areas. And a New Hampshire Game and Fish official recently apprehended a man, a poacher, who had 14 striped bass that he had planned to sell illegally in Massachusetts. You cannot sell game fish into restaurants. These bass ranged from 37 to 47 inches, which are really big bass, striped bass, and he could have brought them up to $1,600, maybe even $2,000. So sportsmen saw this person catching these fish and got in touch with the fish and game, and he fled the scene. But eventually they tracked him down at a boat ramp, and they arrested him, and they've thrown him in jail, which is where he belongs. And it reminds me so often that poachers steal from all of us. Sportsmen and women don't steal. We contribute to the well-being of the resource, both not only through our license fees, but all the equipment we purchase and the taxes on them, and the fact that we care about the resources which we're pursuing. And then you have poachers who simply want to undermine the tenets of what fair chase is and what sportsmanship is all about. So congratulations to the New Hampshire Game and Fish Department, and hopefully people who are tempted to do such things as catch fish and sell them will be deterred from doing it. It steals from all of us. Kind of a little bit of a leap to stealing from all of us to the story that is coming out, and it's just beginning, but it tracks what happened in Manitoba 2 years ago, and that is a crackdown on Americans hunting in Canada, this time in Saskatchewan, and we'll have much more on it in the coming weeks. The story just broke, but the concept is that Saskatchewan is trying to crack down on illegal outfitters. Those are people who don't have a license to outfit and yet are hired to be guides. And the sad thing here is it's Americans. We're the ones doing this. Most of the illegal outfitting that took place in Manitoba, Americans. Most of the illegal outfitting taking place in Saskatchewan, Americans. the people hiring the illegal outfitters to take them hunting, largely Americans. We can stop this problem. We as Americans just have to stop using people who are outfitting illegally. It's no different than arriving at O'Hare Airport and somebody standing there on the curb and asks you if you want to ride. You know 100% that they are not operating legally. Same in Canada. The illegal outfitters are pretty easy to tell, and it could endanger what all of us have so enjoyed for so long. The Saskatchewan government's coming at this in a much more mature and thoughtful, level-headed way than Manitoba did, which had a policy that had no scientific backing, made no sense at all. Manitoba had a policy that made no sense at all and had no scientific backing, no economic basis, and they just shoved it down the throats of Americans. And as you recall from previous shows, there have been a number of, well, complaints, articles, reasons to have Manitoba's regulations rescinded. But unfortunately, they haven't been. So now Manitoba, it's bled over the border into Manitoba. It's bled over the border into Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan is looking at putting restrictions on American hunters. The amount of time they can spend in Saskatchewan, where they can hunt, these kind of things. Hopefully, it doesn't come to pass. I would offer that my personal experience is the amount of illegal outfitting taking place in Saskatchewan, as well as Manitoba, is really, really small, and that it's much more of a law enforcement issue than it is interfering with all the thousands of hunters who come to Saskatchewan and Manitoba and hunt with legal outfitters or hunt on their own. There just is no reason to limit the number of days that an American can come and hunt in Saskatchewan any more than there was in Manitoba. It's a law enforcement issue. It's not a problem with Americans hunting too much. It's a problem with Americans and some Canadians operating illegally, and that won't stop if you put a limit on the number of days that an American can hunt there. I don't think it will stop. So hopefully Saskatchewan thinks long and hard before they go and cause the kind of restrictions that were caused in Manitoba. Their restrictions in Saskatchewan don't at this point seem to be as draconian. And they also have taken into account something which Manitoba did not, and that is that the bulk of conservation funding for wetlands and waterfowl comes from Americans through the North American Wetlands Conservation Act. So we have a big stake in this. We have a big say in it. And our Canadian friends and neighbors to the north know how much we appreciate the opportunity to come to Canada and to hunt and fish. And we know how much they appreciate the opportunity to receive the incredible financial expenditures that not only do Americans bring when they go to Canada, but also that is coming Canada's way through the North American Wetlands Conservation Act. We'll see what happens. I'll have more in the near future, but be on the lookout. Saskatchewan may be following, at least in part, the ill-advised policies of Manitoba. I'll be back in a moment after the break. And when I come back after the break, I'm going to talk about a study that was done and then what was written about it. Something you just don't hear about anywhere, but it's truly, truly interesting. And also, I'm going to talk a little bit about this Guatemalan lady from Guatemala who has shocked the world by becoming a shooting champion at the Olympics. And it's an absolute testament that you can do anything you put your mind to. It's a great story. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Hope you're enjoying the show and hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. There was a editorial written recently in the Wall Street Journal that I thought was got my attention, and then I read it, and it really got my attention. The headline was Polar Bears, Dead Coral, and Other Climate Fictions. So you can't help but walk through an airport, whether it's in Chicago or Salt Lake or Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, and not see big signs from the World Wildlife Foundation, which says big picture WWF and then polar bears and who's going to save them. And it's a heart-stringing poster advertisement. You've seen print ads on them. You've seen them on TV. And it's solely for the purpose of raising money. There's very little that the World Wildlife Fund is actually going to do to save polar bears. And so a bit of a deep dive was done into what actually is the status of polar bears. And over the past 20 years, there has been a tremendous amount written about how polar bears are really the canary in the coal mine. Their populations are plummeting. Al Gore made his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, in 2006, and part of it depicted a cartoon of a polar bear floating away to its death on a melting iceberg. The Washington Post warned in 2004 that the species could face extinction, and the World Wildlife Funds, and these are credible people, the World Wildlife Fund's chief scientist claimed polar bear populations would be unable to reproduce. Some polar bear populations would be unable to reproduce by 2012. Well, we're 2024. What's happened? The population of polar bears has risen from around 12,000 to over 26,000 during this time period. Polar bear populations have more than doubled at a time when a campaign is being launched by some of the biggest conservation entities in the world that polar bears are going to go extinct. I'm not making a comment here one way or the other. I'm just reading to you what the facts are. In the 1960s, there were about 12,000 polar bears in North America. And today, there are about 26,000 polar bears. So the Wall Street Journal goes on to ask, what's happening here? Ads and campaigns are raising tens of millions of dollars to save the polar bears from going extinct and to fight climate change. And yet the population of polar bears has actually doubled during the time this has taken place. And there hasn't been one single piece of work done to actually increase the population of polar bears. All these campaigns that you read about, these are not habitat campaigns. These are campaigns to raise money, to litigate, and to spend more money, to get more people to spend money, whether it be World Wildlife Fund, who we happen to like, and other organizations. But these are not on-the-ground habitat groups. When you send Ducks Unlimited money, you know that money is going to be spent on the ground for habitat. When you send World Wildlife Fund money, you don't necessarily know where it's going, and I'm not picking on them. But in the case of polar bears, I am not aware of a single on-the-ground project that has ever been done to improve the plight of polar bears. And what we're finding out now is that, well, maybe the plight of polar bears doesn't need to be improved because their population has more than doubled. Just an interesting comment from the Wall Street Journal. And then they go on to talk about the same thing happened with Australia's Great Barrier Reef, of which so many of us are familiar with. It has been said for years that the reef is going to die because of rising sea temperatures. In 2009, a hurricane extensively damaged the reef, and official Australian estimates were that a percentage of the coral reef covered in coral reached a record low in 2012, and that the whole reef was in danger of dying because of warming oceans. There were a number of stories about the Great Reef catastrophe. Again, millions, tens of millions of dollars were raised. I'm reading here, scientists predicted the coral cover will be reduced by another half by 2022, and that it might even be entirely gone by 2025. What happened? The latest statistical evidence shows a completely different picture. For the past 3 years, the Great Barrier Reef has had more coral cover than at any point since records began in 1986, with 2024 setting a new record. This is great news, but it doesn't pick up any media coverage. If the Great Barrier Reef had shrunk to a new all-time low level, you can better believe it would have been all over the news, all over the media, about how terrible the situation is. Well, now we have the largest amount of coral cover at any point since records began in 1986. Now, 1986 is not that long ago in the terms of history, but in the previous, in this past period of decades, the reefs have expanded greatly since the hurricane of 2009 and the all-time low of 2012. But again, you don't read anything about it. So my comment is, you really do have to look at both sides of every story before you can come to conclusions. And unfortunately, in our world, we very seldom print good news or talk about good news. We talk about alarming facts, things that get people to open up their wallets. Who is going to send money to any conservation organization that says, today we have the largest growth in coral reefs and the Great Barrier Reef that we've had at any point since we began measuring them in 1986. Not many people, versus we have to save the Great Barrier Reef. Please send us money because it's in terrible shape. And that's what we've been doing for 40 years with polar bears and the Great Barrier Reef. And it turns out, at least in this point in time, while it's just a point in time, we are absolutely certain that we have more polar bears and a larger Great Barrier Reef than we've had in many, many years. Last story I want to talk about quickly before I go off the air is the story of success. And the story is of success around Guatemala, which is absolutely fantastic. A star has been born. There's been much written about it. In fact, a great deal inaccurately. And one of the stories written was that how is it possible that an individual from Guatemala, who was a former gymnast, could possibly win an Olympic gold medal in Olympic trap and set an Olympic record in the process. And they were describing their disgust at the fact that America, with all the money we have and all the resources and all the people, would be beaten by a Guatemalan. I think just the opposite is true. I think we should be celebrating the fact that an individual who comes from a disadvantaged country does not have all the advantages that we have here in the United States, all the most modern equipment and all the most modern construction, can actually go and win an Olympic gold medal and set a world record in the process, an Olympic record in the process, for trap. It's absolutely fantastic. So congratulations. I'm sure I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, but it's Adriana Ruano, who has won the Olympic gold medal in trap from a country that has never won it before. They have never come close to winning it before. Olivia Ruano, set the Olympic record doing it. So it goes to show that even the most well-funded countries with the best training don't always win every medal. And in this case for Guatemala, think about the hope it gives other people in Guatemala, kids and adults, that if someone from their country with the disadvantages they have can actually go and win an Olympic gold medal or any kind of Olympic medal against the best funded athletes in the world, you got to believe that's good for a country's morale. So occasionally the U.S. doesn't have to win everything when it comes to shooting. This year, we certainly haven't. And Olivia Ruano is a shiny example of how people from other parts of the world, without all the advantages that we take often for granted here in America, have, can still rise to the top. So congratulations. I hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more in the outdoors. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.